Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Lord, for another day, Lord. We glorify your name. Show 40 of us, 48. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for another evening, O God. We thank you, Lord, for another Bible study. Lord, we understand that your will is your word, and your word is your will, and we can find more about what you would want us to do and want us to live by studying your word, O God. So we praise you and magnify your name in Jesus' name for the opportunity that you've given us. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name for every family.
Hallelujah.
Every person on the call, every family representative, God. We thank you, Lord, for meeting all needs in abundance.
Hallelujah.
And giving them super abundantly above in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
God. We thank you, oh God, for strengthening us, encouraging us,
Hallelujah.
Building us up. Preparing us, oh God.
Thank you, God.
Revealing yourself to us, oh God. We love you. We praise your name.
We
glorify your name.
Thank you, God.
We honor your name today as we go forth to learn of thee. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide and lead us as we walk through your word. Reveal yourself to us. And we praise the name and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. That Jesus is the reason for the season. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to delve into your word, a deep dive into your word.
Thank you.
We praise your name today.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, we curse you for the wooden command you to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest on your word tonight. Because you said, hallelujah, go to Luke 8:11 and Mark 4:14, that your word is seed. So we thank you, Lord, for the great harvest on the seed sown tonight. 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing. We give you the praise and we give you honor and we give you the glory. And we bless your name forever. And the class said, amen.
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 Class.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, bless God. But a rookus a mad donai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for this class, and of course, we don't do roll call because it's not school. Whosoever will, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. We thank God for the opportunity, hallelujah, glory to God, that he's given us. So, hallelujah, a few announcements before we get into the last group of gifts of the Holy Spirit, known as the inspiration gift.
Yes.
We do know our text is 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are 9 of them. And they're divided into 3 groups of 3. You have the revelation gifts. They reveal something. That's hallelujah. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discernment of spirit. Then you have the power gifts. Power gifts do something.
Mm.
The working of miracles, gifts of healing, and supernatural faith. They do something. And then the last 3 gifts are inspiration gifts. They say something. Divers kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Hallelujah. So, again, announcement. Our new class is starting in February, the first Tuesday of February. Call Pastor Peaches at 443-416-1201 to get on the list for the new class. It's going to be awesome. Hallelujah. And, of course, all the works that you were doing. We've extended the time limit to the third, let me say, Katie, yes, the 3rd of January. So your work is not due till next year. But I don't suggest you wait until then to start doing the work. I'm talking about those that were in the Institute of Biblical Learning last semester. So get to hopping, get to stepping. Hallelujah. And again, hallelujah, watch night service is this coming Saturday at 11 p.m. So make sure it's virtual. So join us at that time, 515-602-9787. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And also want to remind you that those that wish to still support the ministry through their finances, they have a need, so they sow a seed. You can do so on Cash App. That's $T. All the other letters are lowercase. That's PHCPWC. That's $T. All the rest of the letters are lowercase. It's PHCPWC. And send whatever God lays on your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And right now, I need you to take down this name for those who are new in the Bible study on today, those who are listening, who are auditing the course and listening via the 515 number, you need to take down this number, this name. The name is Neil Reyes. His first name is spelled N as in Nancy, E-A-L, L as in Lima. Okay, that's Neil. His last name is Reyes, R as in Ralph, E-Y-E-S, S as in Sam. So it's Neil Reyes. He is a tremendous teacher of God, full of the Holy Spirit, and led by the Spirit. And so what we share is portions of his teachings, which are from 12 to 15 minutes. And we're going to do 3 of his teachings tonight. Discernment of spirits. Excuse me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Diverse kinds of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. And prophecy tonight. After each segment, 5 minutes. And Pastor Peters,
yes.
You're the timekeeper.
Yes, sir.
During that particular 5 minutes, any questions, comments, you may ask at that time. But when the 5 minutes is up, we are going to go to the next teaching, which is interpretation of tongues. And when that's over, we'll have 5 minutes more. And we give you an opportunity to ask questions, make comments, et cetera. And then the last teaching will be prophecy, the gift of prophecy. And then after that, depending on how many minutes we have left in the Bible study for the day, we can share, ask questions, make comments, that type of thing. Everybody understands. We will immediately cut off at 5 minutes. So we can get the whole teaching in.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We understand that. All right. Then I prepare your hearts, Father God. We thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles following the teaching that you're giving us right now.
It's called Diverse Tongues. We're currently in the middle of our series covering the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as we've been going through the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, sometimes these are referred to as the 9 manifestation gifts, we've been teaching them broken down into their 3 categories. One of the things we've been explaining is that the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually broken down into 3 categories of 3. We have the revelation gifts, which constitute of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. We also have the power gifts, which cover the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And now we're beginning the third set, which is the inspiration gifts, which constitute of diverse tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Today we're going to be talking about diverse tongues. Now, as we do that, I want to take you right to the Word and show you where this is at, and then I'm going to explain to you what this is. Now, I will tell you that in this video, one of the things you need to understand is that this particular gift, when you talk about tongues in or outside the body of Christ, but especially within the body of Christ, doesn't matter what denomination or what leg of the body you're talking about or what part of the body you're talking about, no matter what denomination, this is the single most divisive subject when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The main reason being, in fact, it's almost explosive in the way that if you mention tongues or perform tongues somewhere, I mean, you have to be in the right setting in order to do it among the right mindset. Otherwise, what happens is this particular gift, it is so powerful that the enemy has attacked it so much within the body of Christ. And yes, he can attack within the body of Christ. He's done it for years and years. He's done it for millennia, okay? As he turns around and does that, this gift has been divided so strong between the body of Christ, and most of it all comes around misunderstanding. You know, it tells us in God's word that my people perish for a lack of knowledge, or my people perish for a lack of understanding or a lack of knowing, okay? When we talk about this gift, the reason why we're teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit is so that you have greater understanding. And with greater understanding comes greater confidence, and with greater confidence should come greater frequency and greater use. This single subject right here is the most divisive, and it's because of the unknowing of what the gift is. In other words, there are many opinions of what it should or shouldn't be, but not many people have gone to the Word and know exactly what it is. So today, we're going to divide right from wrong. We're going to take you right to God's Word, and we're going to show you what it is. First of all, I want to take you to where it lists all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's actually verses 4 through 11. So we're going to take you to that, but I'm actually going to start off at verse 1. Let's read. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. If you remember, the Apostle Paul did not learn from Jesus like the original 12 disciples. He learned from the Holy Spirit, who's still teaching us. Okay? Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, we're going to skip all the way down to verse 10, and I have it highlighted in white for us. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. And it says, to another different kinds of tongues. So when we talk about different kinds of tongues, in other words, this is diverse tongues. So one of the things we need to understand is when we're discussing the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the things is people think that there's only one type of tongue within the nine gifts, or that there's only one type of tongue or operation. And that's actually not what it is. I'm going to take you to two scriptures in a second that will back this up. But the first thing I want to state is this. The diverse tongues refers to two different things. As believers, once you are saved and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, once that has happened, you have the ability to receive your prayer language. Your prayer language is a gift within the diverse types of tongues. In other words, it's a type of tongue within the diverse types of tongues. Now, when it says diverse types of tongues or different types of tongues, this is a living word, so it can have multiple meanings. One of the things is, first of all, that if you have received your prayer language and you pray in an unknown tongue or in another tongue, I want to let you know that if at times when you're praying, especially in deep prayer, if it seems like that prayer changes, that prayer language changes or switches to a different type of dialect, that's very possible, because as believers, you're not limited to just one tongue. Now, remember that the Holy Spirit gives these gifts to each as he wills, but it is possible to have more than one type of tongue to pray in. In other words, this gift is not about knowing different languages. It's not like if I know English and this gift comes on me, all of a sudden I can speak Russian or I can speak Spanish or something. That's not what this gift is. This gift is diverse tongues, and it has two main reasons. The first one is that it operates as your prayer language. Now, in operating as your prayer language, I'm not going to go into all that in this teaching, but I highly encourage you to go back. A couple of weeks ago, we were teaching on the main different types of prayer that are covered in the Bible, and one of the prayers we covered is praying in the Spirit. And I broke that down into a three-part teaching to break down what praying in the Spirit is, how it operates, and its benefits. Right now, though, I'm going to cover with you the specific benefits of praying within your prayer language. So the specific benefits of praying within your prayer language are this. When you are praying in your prayer language, keep in mind this is the Holy Spirit praying through you directly to the Father. So praying, the benefits of praying in the Spirit are direct fellowship with God. It brings rest, refreshing, and peace. It brings personal edification, and edification simply means it builds us up spiritually. It builds up it builds up God's presence in the atmosphere we're in. It elevates or magnifies your level of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. That's why praying in your prayer language before you go into worship is great. It increases our sensitivity to being led and hearing God's voice. It develops God's anointing and increases its presence. It allows us to pray about the future, and it enables God to arrange deliverance and or protection for us or others. Those are the benefits of what praying in your prayer language will do. Now, you might be saying, well, how do I get that gift, or how do I do it, or how do I operate it? Again, go back to our teaching. It's called Praying in the Spirit. We have parts 1, 2, and 3. My advice is that you start with part 1. You can certainly jump in 2 or 3 if you want, but you're going to miss some foundational teaching that I gave in 1 and 2. So my recommendation for you is go to Praying in the Spirit on our website and or on our YouTube channel, and as you do that, you can turn around and find the Praying in the Spirit, parts 1, parts 2, and parts 3. It breaks it down very simple and very easy for you to follow. Also, if you've had any misconceptions, or if you don't fully agree that this gift should operate or that it should be used, go to the teaching. It'll help you, and then you can go before God and pray and have him lead you. You know, I heard my spiritual father in the faith, Keith Moore, say before, what's the answer to 1,000 questions? Be led. So be led by the Spirit, okay? All right. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover two different scriptures for you. The first thing I told you is that the first reason for diverse tongues is for your prayer language. But one of the biggest things that happens within the body of Christ is that when someone prays in tongues, they're like, you need an interpretation. You need an interpretation. And that is true some of the time, but that's not true all of the time. But without knowing the gift or how it operates, then at the same time, it's hard to understand or know when an interpretation must be given. Now, in tomorrow's teaching, we're going to cover what a gift of interpretation is, and we're going to cover that with the second part of this gift a little bit more. But I want to tell you that the second part of this gift is meant as a sign. So tongues or diverse tongues have two main reasons, two main operations, not reasons, but operations. The first operation is to operate as your personal prayer language, and we just listed some of the benefits of operating within that gift. The second operation of diverse tongues, meaning multiple or different types of tongues, the second operation of diverse tongues is that it's meant to be used as a sign. And when we say a sign, it's as a sign to unbelievers. The interpretation is not for believers. The interpretation is for unbelievers. Now, some of you right there, I may just lost like, what? Well, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow and the day after, because I'm going to cover to you in interpretations why that is. And when I back it up, I guarantee that it's going to open your eyes to some things you may not have known, or it will strengthen your confidence in things that the Lord has already shown you. So the second reason for this gift is for tongues are for signs. Now, I'm going to take you to two scriptures so we can back this up. Let's read. So the first one we have is we're going to cover tongues for prayer. That's out of 1 Corinthians 14:14. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. He's talking specifically about when he's praying in tongues in his prayer language. The second one we have are tongues for sign. This is also in chapter 14, but this is at verse 22. So 1 Corinthians 14:22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. So I gave a little prelude to what we're going to be covering, and when we go to talking about the interpretation of tongues, but also when we talk about prophecy. All I'm going to say is hang in there with us, because a lot of times people have thought in the past that the gift of prophecy was the ability to foretell the future, and that's not what that is. the office of the prophet, when we study the five offices of the church, the office of the prophet, he operates in telling about the future. But when he does, he's not operating in the gift of prophecy. He's operating in the gift of a word of wisdom, which we've already covered. A word of wisdom is a word about the future that has not occurred yet. So that being said, we're going to break down to you what the gift of interpretation is, and what the gift of prophecy is. This is exciting, guys, so I hope you stay with us over the next couple of days, okay? So in these two scriptures I gave you, this is the Apostle Paul talking, and if you go to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, he actually breaks down he takes an entire chapter to break down how the sign gift of tongues operates. He talks about its use, he talks about the sign of it, and he talks about how it's for unbelievers. And for those of you who thought that interpretation is for believers, I just broke down to you that it's not, that the sign tongues is actually for unbelievers, and we'll go more into that tomorrow. So as we talk about it, there's two types of tongues, and I know I'm kind of hammering this home, but I want to make sure you stay with us on this. The first type of tongue is for your prayer language. The second type of tongue is for a sign unto the unbeliever. That is what a prayer of talking in tongues or praying in tongues is used for. Two different types or diverse tongues. The first one, again, is for your personal prayer language. The second one is for a sign to unbelievers. Guys, I know we've covered a lot of ground today, and maybe it seems like I'm leaving you on a little bit of cliffhanger because now you want to know what the interpretation is. Here's what I will tell you. When you operate in diverse tongues, if you're operating in your prayer language, there is no interpretation needed. It's your personal prayer language, okay? Now, when you operate in the sign of tongues, which we just covered in 1 Corinthians 14:22, that is the tongue that must always be accompanied by an interpretation. And that particular tongue should only be used when you're in a gathering setting. And what I mean by a gathering setting, I'm talking when you're in a church setting or when you're in a potentially like a Bible study setting. That's not something where you turn around and you go eat at the local diner and you jump up out of your seat and you pop off in a tongue and then you're waiting for an interpretation. That's not what that is, okay? One of the things we have to understand is that the Holy Spirit says he gives these gifts to each as he wills, but when he does that, there's a way in which is appropriate and honorable to God that you operate in these gifts. So much of the body of Christ, and I've actually seen churches, they're so concerned about how to make sure that they're operating correctly in the gifts that they choke out the use of the gifts completely because they're so concerned or overly concerned about using them out of order. Hey, guys. When you're operating these gifts, it's always by a tug of the Holy Spirit. It's by a push, an encouraging push of the Holy Spirit, okay? So when he's encouraging you, be faithful and be encouraged and brave, I would say, to step out and use these gifts, okay? These are meant for the building up of the body of Christ, but sometimes for the witnessing to the unsaved. But at the same time, don't be one of those people who turns around and misuses these gifts or tries to misuse these gifts to try to build up your personal image or make you look holier or something like that. Because when you do, all you're doing is damaging the body of Christ. Look within the body of Christ today. There's so much divisiveness over the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, all because of lack of understanding. But the lack of understanding is largely a result of misuse of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That being said, guys, we're going to conclude today's teaching. I hope that you found today's teaching encouraging and edifying to you. In other words, that it built you up. Remember, go back and study the other gifts that we've talked about. Definitely go back to our prayer series where we talked about praying in the Spirit. Listen to parts 1, 2, and 3 so you can grow off of that. And stay with us over the next couple of days so you can learn about what the gift of interpretation is, and so you can learn about what the gift of prophecy is. I guarantee that when you stay with us through those teachings, it's going to change your outlook on the way these gifts operate and how you thought they should be used. This is powerful stuff, guys. Guys, as always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. You can find all of our teachings available to stream 24 hours a day on our website. In addition to that, we invite you to connect with us on social media. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can also find those teachings. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Guys, as you subscribe to our channel and as you connect with us, it makes it easy for you to share that with the people around you so that you can have commonality when you speak with them and sharpen each other, because the Word tells us, iron sharpens iron, and if you share these teachings, I guarantee you it's going to open up your witness to be able to speak to people. Guys, as always, if there's something that you'd like for us to teach about, connect with us on our website, go to our contact page and shoot us a quick message. We'll go before the Lord and pray about that, and as we're led, we'll teach on those subjects. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is the Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Praise God. That was Diverse Kinds of Tongues. Pastor Peters, you may begin while I key up the next teaching.
All right.
Power off.
Any questions, anybody? Clarity?
I do.
Anybody?
Sister Angie has a question. What does it mean when he said you speak in tongues, but you have to speak it in a different way?
Say that again,
Angie. You have to pray. What did he mean when he said you have to speak in tongues, but you have to do it in a different way, but you have to pray? Something like speak in tongues?
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth.
May I share a Pastor Peters?
Pastor, you ain't answering.
Okay. If I say to you, Sister Angie, I have $100 for you, and I take it out of my wallet, and I hand it to you, what do you do?
I say thank you, and I receive it in Jesus' name.
All right. The gift of tongues is that it's a gift. You just reach out and take it.
Okay.
And I've heard you use your prayer language. Number one, it's
right,
your
right.
prayer language. It's not my
right.
prayer language. It's your prayer language.
It's yours.
So it's coming
right.
out of your mouth. You just open your mouth. And you just stand on his word. When we were children, we were babies, you know, how we learn to speak is by understanding and watching others, yes. But we started with one word at a time. Da-da.
Right.
Or ma-ma.
Well, bye-bye.
Yeah. And
bye-bye.
Wow. Now, mama or dad got it to be sentences and words and sentences and stuff like that. So you start wherever you are, not trying to think it, but just open your mouth. The reason why a lot of people don't get the gift, they ask for it, but don't get the gift because they don't open their mouth. They're trying to think everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just open your mouth and begin to speak like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to share
okay.
that way. I mean, there are other ways, but it can just come on you like lightning. And you start opening your mouth. Or it come on you, it almost will sound like another language or like a different dialect or whatever. But it's your prayer language. It's yours. You just go ahead
okay.
and do it. And the more you do it, the more you're comfortable in doing it, the more you're confident in doing it. Because your prayer language is necessary for you to fight the enemy. It's a weapon of your warfare. There are things, situations in your life, in your day, you don't know what to say. Now, the enemy wants you to throw up both hands, run down the middle of the street screaming and hollering. But that's the way born-again, tongue-talking, fire-baptized, Holy Ghost filled for we go
right.
We don't know if you don't know what to say. Somebody said, "You know, pray for me," and you trying to figure out in English what to say. You say, "Chakarobo, chakarobo." See, that's the Holy Spirit in you praying
okay.
the Father God. You don't know what it says, but glory to God. God knows what the Holy Spirit in you is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So you just go ahead. But when trouble comes, you don't know what to say. Just go to the bullshit. Then you go into your prayer language. That's a weapon of your
okay.
warfare. That you heard what the man said. Hallelujah. It's a refreshing. It's a relaxation. It gives you peace. It makes you sensitive to the voice of the Lord. It enhances your thanksgiving and your praise, your worship to God. It energizes the atmosphere. It gets you closer to God. That's why the enemy likes that so much. He doesn't want to get close to God. Because then you'd be doing what God did. Psalm 78, verse 66 says, God kicked the enemy in his hind parts. You'll be able to do that too. Kick the devil.
Yes.
See,
yes.
If you don't use your prayer language, you don't have
prayer language.
You've got to use it. It's your prayer language. You don't try to do what I do or do what somebody else say. Shonda. Oh, coming in my Cadillac.
I'm inside.
Hallelujah. What is that? Leave me outside. You say what comes out of your lips.
Time up, Pastor.
Okay.
Time in the sun.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I understand now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called the interpretation of tongues. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called the interpretation of tongues. We've been studying over last week and this week the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are sometimes referred to as the 9 manifestation gifts. And as we've been discussing that these gifts are actually broken down into 3 categories or 3 groups of 3. We have the revelation gifts, which are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. We have the power gifts, which are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and gifts of healings. We have the inspiration gifts, which are the diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Now, yesterday we talked about diverse tongues, and we talked about the type of tongues and the use of tongues. We talked that there's 2 types of tongues, that, you know, diverse tongues means multiple types of tongues. But we talked that there's 2 operations of that gift. One is the operation of your prayer language, which does not require an interpretation. And the second one is the tongue of a sign or a sign tongue. And that's the tongue that is used when you gather together as a congregation or as a body of Christ, whether it be in a church or in a Bible study setting. And when you get together, that's when the Holy Spirit leads you with a tongue, and there must be an interpretation. Today we're going to study what the interpretation is. And tomorrow we're going to be covering what the gift of prophecy is. Now, sometimes people think that a gift of prophecy is the foretelling of the future, and we've said multiple times that that's not what that is. The reason why there's some confusion with that is because people equate the prophet with the gift of prophecy. There are 5 offices within the church, and one of the offices is the office of the prophet. Those are talked about in the book of Ephesians. The office of the prophet operates in the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is when God has given you a supernatural word about a future event that has not occurred yet. Now, something to say about that is that just because you may operate in the gift of a word of wisdom does not make you a prophet. In other words, that's not the qualifier that calls you to the office of a prophet. However, if someone is a prophet, if they're in the office of a prophet, they will operate within that gift. The gift of prophecy, however, is something completely different. And we're going to get into that tomorrow. And I highly encourage you come back, because what I'm going to explain to you tomorrow is that the gift of the sign diverse tongues, so in other words, in diverse tongues, when someone gives a tongue and there's an interpretation, I'm going to tell you that that equals what the gift of prophecy is. But there's a reason why that happens. One is meant for the unsaved as a witness to the unsaved. The other is meant for a witness to the saved. So we're going to really dive into this, and I should have already piqued your interest, but just because you heard me say that line doesn't mean you're fully studied up on it and now you know how to operate in it. You need to come back for the teaching. But as we talk about that, it's important to know why we're talking about the gift of interpretation. So the first thing I want to do is take you to the word where it first speaks about this gift. And in this is the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, where the Apostle Paul is talking about, and he lists all 9 gifts. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that the Apostle Paul was not taught directly by Jesus like the original 12 apostles. He was actually taught through the Holy Spirit. I always think that's important to mention because the same Holy Spirit that led and guided and taught him is the same Holy Spirit that's leading and guiding and teaching us today. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're actually going to start at verse 1. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to there. If not, you can follow on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. This is the Apostle Paul talking, saying he doesn't want us being ignorant. Now, if we skip all the way down to verse 10, I have it highlighted in white. It says, to another, the interpretation of tongues. So, it's talking about the interpretation of tongues, and this is where it first mentions it. So here's what I'm going to tell you. First of all, if someone speaks in tongues, it does not always have to have an interpretation. Why? Because there are different operations of the diverse tongue gift. First of all, the first one is that it could be used as your prayer language. And if you want to know the importance of that, go back to yesterday's teaching because I broke down in there some of the benefits that come from praying in your prayer language. And in there, I cited a teaching I did a couple weeks ago when I was talking about the 9 main different types of prayer within the Bible. And one of the types of prayer I talked about was praying in the Spirit. And I did a 3-part teaching that talks about the operation of praying in tongues and why you do it and how to receive that gift. So we've already given some really good background on that. The second operation within the gift of tongues or the diverse tongues is the sign tongue. So I want to go over a couple simple things that sometimes are questions that people ask. And I want you to understand these because these are some real simple guidelines on how this gift operates and how it's used. First of all, only the sign tongue requires an interpretation. If you speak in your prayer language, it does not require one. Here's what I'll tell you. Sometimes people are in a prayer setting, whether it be a prayer group, whether it be a Bible study, or they're at church, and they turn around and they go off in tongues. And then there's no interpretation. What happens? Well, that means one of two things. Either one, there was no one in that room who had the gift of interpreting, or two, they had the gift and they felt prompted, but they didn't step out, maybe because they'd never used it before, or three, it wasn't a sign tongue. It was simply just someone going off in a tongue to edify the presence of God, or I should say magnify the presence of God within that environment. But these gifts have to operate in order. And I will tell you that most churches have shied away from these gifts because they don't understand the order. The other thing that happens is sometimes there's this perceived pressure that they place on the pastor of the church that he has to know all these gifts and operate in them. Sometimes pastors are still growing, guys, okay? Quit holding them as your standard in life, that they have to live perfect lives. These are special men and women that God has placed an anointing on to be able to shepherd you and teach you the word. Should they continually be growing and be a leading example for you? Absolutely. But they are not your standard. A life in Christ is your standard. So instead of tearing them down with your words, build them up and pray for them. Now, lots of churches I've seen don't operate in these gifts because maybe the pastor feels that they should have the gift before anyone else. And because they don't, or because they feel they'll look insignificant, they don't teach in it. I will tell you that a pastor should never feel that way. In fact, a pastor should be so excited to invite the Holy Spirit's presence within every one of his services that whether if it's him or one of his congregants who operates in this gift, he's just excited to have the Holy Spirit show up every time. So I just put that out there as a word of edification and exhortation for the body of Christ, that maybe that builds you up, an exhortation that maybe that lifts you up. Now, another thing to understand about this gift, the gift of interpretation is not a translation. This is not the translation of tongues. This is the interpretation of tongues. That's why if you ever hear this gift operate, if someone gives a sign tongue and they rattle off for a while, the interpretation can be very short. Or it could be a very short tongue, sign tongue, and the interpretation is very long. This is not like if I were sitting here talking to you now and I have a Spanish translator or a Chinese translator or whatever interpreting everything I say. That's not what this gift is. This is not a translation. This is an interpretation. And with an interpretation, what's happening is as the person steps out in faith to use this gift, they don't know every word that's going to come out of their mouth. All they know is they feel a tug or an unction to speak, and it's almost as if they're walking one foot in front of the other, and they don't know which step they're going to have. They may only see 2 steps in front of them at a time, even though they might go down 40 or 50 feet walking. In other words, it's given to them as they step out in it. And as they step out in it, the words will flow out of their mouth. And the interpretation is basically, like I said, it's not a translation. It's an interpretation where basically they're interpreting a meaning or the meaning of the word that God wants to speak. I also want to reiterate at this time, this gift is not for the saved. this gift is for a witness to the unsaved. Now, here's what I mean by that. You must be saved in order to receive this gift, because you have to be saved to have the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit operate within you. But when this gift functions and operates, yes, it can get the church excited, but it's not meant for the body of Christ. It's a witnessing tool for the unsaved. That doesn't mean that there won't be words spoken that speak to you as well and minister to you. But what I'm telling you is that this gift is meant for the unsaved. When we get into the gift of prophecy, we're going to break that down more on why that is. But you'll have to come back tomorrow, because that's when we're going to do that one. Now, another thing to know. If a sign tongue is spoken, it always requires an interpretation. But here's where sometimes the people get hung up in the church. The interpretation does not need to come from a person different than who gave the tongue. I'm going to say that again, because some people have a hard time with that. If there's a sign tongue that's delivered, the interpretation does not need to come from someone else. It can if there's someone else in the room that operates in that, but the sign tongue, once it's spoken, the interpretation can come from the same person. I've already described that sometimes you may enter an environment and give a tongue when there's no one in the room to interpret it. So what happens? No one's edified. No one's built up off it. What I will tell you is that I have been in many times in environments where the Lord prompted me to give a tongue and then prompted me for the interpretation as well. It's not like I gave the tongue and I looked around and I was like, no one's going to interpret. Okay, I'll interpret. No, it was I spoke it and I interpreted it because I knew the Lord was going to have me do that. Now, some people might say, that's blasphemy now. Really? Let's go to the Word and look that up. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:13, you can look on the screen with us, 1 Corinthians 14:13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. It tells us right there, that's the Apostle Paul speaking when he's talking about the sign tongue. All chapter 14 is dedicated to the sign tongue and how it operates. He's saying that if you don't interpret tongues, you should be seeking that if you speak in a tongue, you can also interpret. This is super important even within your own walk, but the reason why you need this is because as God prompts you to use his gifts, he may need you to also be the one to interpret. So be willing to step out, and when you do, remember it's not a translation. You're not going to speak in tongues, or someone's not going to speak in tongues, and you're going to know everything they say. You're going to feel a tug, and as you feel a tug and feel led, you'll feel encouraged to step out. As you feel led to step out, and when you first do it, you may get a little shaky. I'm not saying you will, but you may be like, or a little uncertain. Don't worry about that. Step out in faith. Faith without works is dead. Step out in faith. The other thing I want to talk to you about is that when there's an interpretation, it doesn't have to be for everyone in the room. It can be for one person. So let's say you're in your church setting. Let's say there's a few hundred people there, or maybe you're in a big church, several thousand people there. You're in church, and someone turns around, and they give a tongue, and there's an interpretation. Let's say the tongue comes off, and then it's an interpretation, and people are like, well, I didn't know what that means. It doesn't have to be for the whole church. It could be that the interpretation, in other words, if you're in America and you speak English as your primary language, if there's a tongue spoken in a foreign language and then a turnaround and an interpretation, but it's not in English, that may mean it's because it was not for you. It could be that it was for one person within that room. I mean, if they give a tongue and then the interpretation is, let's say, it's in French. Well, it could be that there's someone in that room who speaks French, and that interpretation was directly for that person. This gift can be for just one person, or it can be for several or the whole body, but it's up to the Holy Spirit how he wants to use that gift. That's why the witnessing of this tool to the unsaved is so strong. That doesn't mean you go down to your local diner and pop off in a tongue and then interpret in the middle of the restaurant. That's not how it works. This is when you come together as a congregation, in other words, in the body of Christ, whether it be church, whether it be a prayer group, whether it be a Bible study or something like that. And the other thing I want to turn around and take you to is one more scripture. This is 1 Corinthians, and it's 14:26-27. Let's go ahead and read. This is where the Apostle Paul is giving instruction about how the gifts are supposed to operate within the church. 1 Corinthians 14:26-27. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. So here's what I want to say about that. The reason why he's talking about this, he's not saying that two or three people need to speak when there's a sign tongue that operates. That's not what he's saying here. What he's talking about is that this time, this particular church of Corinth, they were so excited about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that when they came together, they all wanted to operate and function at the same time, and there was no order within the church. I will tell you that you, when these gifts operate, you also need to honor the order of your church. If your pastor is up there or something like that, I've heard a pastor speak before, and as he's in the middle of his message, someone jumps up and starts giving a tongue. And if the pastor knows by the Lord that's supposed to be operating, he'll yield to that in most cases. But in some cases, he may say, hey, hang on just a second. The timing's wrong. You're going to throw off the anointing in this message. And I've seen people, I remember seeing a woman one time stand up, and she just kept going and going and going and going, and they couldn't get her to be quiet. It broke the anointing of his message. The timing was off. Someone might say, well, wait a minute. There should have been an interpretation. No, the gift was out of order. There was no correct order of function within this. And when that happened, it broke a whole service apart. And then on top of that, they weren't even able to give the interpretation for the church later on because the woman was just popping off. And here's what I will tell you. Sometimes the enemy can try to use this as a distraction gift within churches. And when I say that, sometimes people are like, what do you mean? Well, simply let's just say this. I'm not saying that the enemy has the ability to give a tongue to someone. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that just because people are gathered in church doesn't mean that they're all saved folks ready to hear about the Word of God. Sometimes there's people there just coming to find out for the first time, and other times there are people there who are simply there to try to cause disruption or try to interfere. So I actually feel this as a spoken word right now. If you're a pastor and in your church you're having some issues right now with a specific individual which has a strong influence on the church and is being very disruptive, you may need to pray about the Lord to find out whether that person is actually there to help build you guys up or whether they're simply as a distraction. In other words, even if you think they're a believer and a strong believer, it could be that they're not. It could be that they're only there to cause a distraction. And that was a specific word I felt come out of me right now, okay? So that's not for everybody, but that's for someone specific listening to this video today. If it is, reach out to us because I'd be curious to see about that, and we'll stand in prayer with you. Anyways, all that being said, this is what the gift of interpretation of tongues is, and that's how it operates. Keep in mind that this gift it operates within the body of Christ, and yes, it has the ministering power of the body of Christ, but it's meant for the unsaved. Guys, we want to thank you for stopping by today and grow with us. We want to invite you to go by our website at neilreyes.com or swing by our social media. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and then share that word on your social media threads. Help us get this word out to others and minister to people. So that way that opens opportunity for us to share God's word and minister to them. Guys, as always, we want to thank you. And if you have any type of topic that you'd like to hear about or something that's on your heart, we invite you to reach out to us through our contact form on our webpage at neilreyes.com. Send us a quick note. We'll take those subjects. We'll go before the Lord and pray about them, and we'll teach on them as we're led. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord, and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Jesus is Lord.
Power off.
You got 5 minutes.
All right. Questions?
Any clarity? So I know, this is Sister Camilla. How's everyone? But I know speaking in the tongue is supposed to confuse the enemy. But also, he says something also where a person has been prophesied, and they said they're able to do that. But he did bring me clarity that even though you're able to prophesy, sometimes it does not mean that you're prophesizing for the good. And that's where I was a little confused, because I always thought that if a person was able to prophesy and speaking another and speaking the tongue, then, you know, we can trust and we can believe in them. But there's always another side to it just as well that I just learned tonight.
Oh.
It's for the saved and the unsaved.
All right. Okay. May I interject?
Yes, yes.
He has not taught on prophecy yet, because the gifts of prophecy and the office of a prophet are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually two things. The gift of prophecy has nothing to do with foretelling the future. That's the
mm-hmm.
gift of prophecy. You must understand that. But anyway, okay, you can continue, Pastor Pete. I'm trying to key up.
Any more questions? Two and a half more minutes.
Okay.
54, 55. Anybody else need any clarity on anything? Are y'all writing down the scriptures?
Yes, I got 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 1, mm-hmm. verse 10 through 14.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's the scripture that he uses every week.
Right. That means the gifts of the gifts in it. And also 1 Corinthians 14 he mentioned tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned those every week. 1 Corinthians all the way chapter through 14, because I have it written down.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like somebody reading, but okay.
All questions answered? All minds clear?
Yes, ma'am.
Let me ask a question. Every time somebody speaks in tongues, does there need to be an interpreter?
No.
No. No. No, not really.
Very good.
How many minutes do I have?
Time. It's up.
We're on.
Oh, time's up?
Bluetooth.
Yep.
Pairing.
You have it.
Bluetooth connected.
About the gift of prophecy, I want to take you right to the scripture where the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are listed. I'm going to show you where this one's listed, and then we're going to dive right into what it is and to what it's not. If you turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to start at verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to us, and I think that's important to say because the original 12 apostles learned directly from Jesus within his ministry. They were directly with him. The Apostle Paul came later on after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so he learned his ministry through the Holy Spirit. And I always find that's important because we are learning and living with the same Holy Spirit that taught the Apostle Paul. That being said, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I like starting with that so that we understand that he does not want us to be ignorant about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now the 9 gifts are found directly beneath in verses 4 through 11, but we're actually going to skip down to verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. To another prophecy. This is where it talks about or names the gift of prophecy. Now, one of the things I want to get right into is what this gift is not. I want to give some clarification around this gift. This gift, the gift of prophecy, is not the foretelling of the future. That's what many people think it is, and the reason why they do that is because they refer this gift to equate with the office of the prophet. It tells us in Ephesians 4:11, it breaks down the five offices of the church. You know, it talks about the apostle. It talks about the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, and the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not necessarily the order that does it in, but it talks about those. The prophet does not operate through the gift of prophecy. Let me clarify that. The prophet may operate in the gift of prophecy, certainly. But it's not the gift of prophecy that qualifies the prophet to the office of the prophet, okay? The gift of prophecy is not the foretelling of the future. The gift of the word of wisdom is the foretelling of the future. A word of wisdom, if you haven't listened to it yet, I invite you to go back. That's where God supernaturally gives us a word about a future event that has not occurred yet. Now, when he does that, if someone operates in the word of wisdom, that does not make them a prophet. So what I will say is that just because someone operates in the gift of a word of wisdom does not qualify them to be a prophet. However, a prophet will always operate in a word of wisdom, okay? Now, when we talk about a gift of prophecy, what the gift of prophecy is, it's a supernatural gift that's been given to the body of Christ to be able to edify, comfort, and exhort the body of Christ, Now, we're going to get into that specifically here in a second, but here's what I want to state. In yesterday's teaching, we talked about the interpretation of tongues, and the day before that, we talked about diverse tongues. We broke down what diverse tongues are. We talked about the difference of praying in your prayer language, and we talked about praying in what's known as a sign tongue, which is done in public. But we talked about when a sign tongue is done, that there always has to be an interpretation with it. Well, as you speak about, or as the interpretation comes out, it's not a translation, but an interpretation, those two gifts together are meant for the unsaved. In other words, it's a voice from the Lord that is speaking to someone who is unsaved. And that gift operates within the church setting or within a Bible study or a prayer group, but when believers come together, and usually there's sometimes an unbeliever potentially within their midst. Okay? Now, the gift of prophecy is equivalent to those two gifts combined, but it's for the church. So the gift of prophecy is equivalent to a sign tongue with an interpretation. Those two gifts combined equal what a gift of prophecy is. The difference is that the gift of prophecy is for the body of Christ, whereas a tongue with an interpretation is for the unsaved. Now, it has great ministering power to the church, but it's for the unsaved. A gift of prophecy is when the Lord has a spoken word for the church that he speaks to them. This spoken word is very impactful. And I want to take you to another scripture before I get into a little bit more of that, but that's the difference of what a gift of prophecy is. The next one I want to take you to is out of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go all the way to chapter 5, and we're going to go verses 19 through 22. Let's read. So 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, the reason why I say that is this. In this particular verse, it tells us that we are not to quench the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's penalty around quenching the Holy Spirit. Many churches say, unfortunately, quench the Holy Spirit because they don't understand the full operation and anointing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, though, they also don't like them functioning sometimes because they don't know how to control them, or they haven't taught their members or their congregants how to operate in order with them. And the chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul dedicates an entire chapter to the speaking of tongues, and he also talks about the gifts and the operation of the gifts and how to be in order with them. Honor is very big to God. And one of the things we don't want within our church environments is disorder. However, we also don't want to choke out the Holy Spirit's presence. We don't want to quench him. We want to allow him to operate freely so he can minister as he wants to the ones he needs to. Now, as we talk about that, the reason why this verse over here talks about holding fast to what is good and abstaining from all evil, but right before that says test all things, whenever God has a word for you, it should always line up with what his word says. Sometimes there are people out there who are false prophets or who have false voices, and they'll turn around and say something, and it may sound divine, it may sound holy, but it doesn't line up in accordance with God's will. One thing to keep in mind with that is that even, and I feel prompted to say this, even the devil himself, when he went to tempt Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days, when he went to tempt him, even he tried to quote the word back to the Lord. However, he manipulated and twisted it slightly as far as its meanings. So when we hear prophecies, or I should say the word of prophecy, we should always test it against God's word. And the word of prophecy is always for the body of Christ. And when it operates, it has a threefold ministry to it. So exhortation is lifting others up. Edification is building others up. And comfort is exactly that. It's comforting them. Now, as we talk about that, one of the things that it is not, whenever there's a word of prophecy, I don't care how divine it sounds, it is not rebuke, it's not criticism, and it's not meant for guidance. In other words, it's when I say guidance, you're supposed to turn to the Holy Spirit and to God's word for guidance. These are things that are meant, it's an encouraging word is what it is. Now, yes, it may bring some clarity to what you need to do. It may bring some clarity to what's ahead in front of you, but those things are to be tested back to the word of God. Now, a word of prophecy or a gift of prophecy, and also if we talked about tongues and interpretation of tongues, okay, but especially the gift of prophecy, it is never rebuke and it's never criticism, okay? Never rebuke, never criticism. It's a word of exhortation, which is lifting others up, edification, which is building others up, and comfort, okay? Now, as we talk about that, one of the things I want to share with you is how this gift operates. I remember years ago, I was part of a team that was leading a class at a church. This is years ago, real good prayer team. And before we would turn around and go teach the class, we would get together and we'd get an intercessory prayer and start praying. And one of the day I felt prompted to start teaching about the gift of prophecy and explaining to people what it was. And one of the girls there, what she was explaining was that she felt so embarrassed because every time we would get prayer lines at the end and people would come up for their needs, you know, the women would go to the women and the men would come to the men. When they would come up, this girl would be praying, but every once in a while she would start crying and sobbing, and she felt so embarrassed that she's crying in front of the other person. And I had to explain to her, I said, do you know what gift is operating with you in that point? And she goes, no. And I said, well, first of all, keep in mind, when the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate, it's usually not one gift operating. It's usually several in conjunction. But when the gifts are operating, one of the things that's happening is that that's what's known as a gift of prophecy. A gift of prophecy is when the Lord gives you a spoken word for someone, and it's to exhort them, which is to lift them up, to edify them, which is to build them up, or to comfort them. The reason why you start crying, that's nothing to be embarrassed of, is because when you're praying over that person, God is using you like a funnel, in other words, like a conduit to speak directly to that person. And as he's doing that, all of his love, his intensity, the intenseness of his love is flowing through you and into that person for that situation. And when God's love comes through you in such a raw manner, how can you not be moved by the love of God? That's why you're crying, is because it's simply overwhelming, because what you're doing is you're feeling God's love and presence flow through you so strong into that person and connecting with them that what it is that's what's bringing you to tears. So if you pray over someone, that doesn't mean that if you go to prayer with someone, every time you start crying, that doesn't necessarily mean that gift's operating. However, there's a good chance that's what's going on within your life. You know, this is a gift where God can turn around and prompt someone to say it out loud within church if they're prompted and in order with the pastor or the guest speaker, whoever the minister is, or the Bible study or prayer group. But sometimes God will also use this gift for you to actually walk up to people. Could be in church settings or things of that nature, and just share with them some love. Maybe you tell them something that lifts them up, or you tell them something that builds them up, or you tell them something that comforts them. You know, it tells us in the Word that man judges by the outward appearance, but God judges by the intentions of the heart. Sometimes we can see people or come across people within our walks that they look like they're completely put together on the outside, and they're just fine. But inside, there's a storm brewing underneath the surface. Or sometimes they can look just fine on the outside and happy, but underneath they're broken and hurting. I will tell you a unique function of this gift is this gift of prophecy has some of the strongest ability to bring internal healing to people. Now, I told you before, you're like, well, wait a minute, it's not the gifts of healing. No, it's not the gifts of healing. But I've told you numerous times within this teaching, and I've said it in this one as well, that during this series that we've talked about, that the gifts never operate alone. They usually operate in tandem with multiple gifts operating at the same time. That doesn't mean all nine operate at the same time, but there's usually multiple gifts operating at the same time supporting each other. I will tell you that within the course of my ministry, the Lord has blessed me with the honor of praying for many people. And as he's blessed me with the honor of praying for many people, especially when we're doing healings, healings always start at the inside and work themselves out. They always start on the deeper levels. You know, sometimes we'll be talking to someone who needs a physical healing, but before we get to the physical healing, we go down to the deepest level of the spirit, and healing begins there. And as it comes out, it then goes to the soul, which is their mind, their will, or their emotions. And then it comes out to the physical body. Other times, it's not the physical body that needs to be healed at all. It's just a healing of the spirit or a healing of the soul. And I will tell you that as we walk through those steps, it's not always done through this, but often and many times as we're helping people receive that healing, the healing often flows through the gift of prophecy. It's a word that the Lord directly speaks to a person so they can connect with that love and finally receive the healing and forgive and release the things they need to. Remember, forgiveness doesn't release others. Forgiveness releases you. In other words, it releases you from being a prisoner, not others. And as prophecy, the gift of prophecy comes in, and that exhortation comes in, which lifts them up out of their situation, when edification comes in and builds them up in their person, and when comfort comes in to simply say, I'm here for you and I love you directly from God, that is such a powerful thing, and it brings deep healing. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed our teaching on the gifts of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, these are referred to sometimes as the manifestation gifts. We covered them over the past 2 weeks, and I am believing that as you've learned with these gifts, you'll now go before the Lord, you'll pray before him, and you'll ask him to show you these gifts within your life. And ask for these gifts. It is okay. It tells us in the word that you have not because you ask not. It's okay to ask for a gift, but then be willing to have him show you the growth you need in your life to be able to receive. Because remember, the Holy Spirit gives to each as he wills, but God wants to withhold no good thing from his children. It's not like he's being stingy with these gifts and saying, oh, no, you can't have this. These gifts are meant for the body of Christ. They're meant for the building up of an edification of the body of Christ. There's no reason why you shouldn't be operating them. There's no reason why you shouldn't receive them. You just need to work on your Christian character a little bit. You can be put in a position where you can receive them. Guys, we thank you for stopping by today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. If in addition to that, we invite you to check us out on social media. We have our YouTube channel, we have our Facebook page, and we also are on Twitter. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It makes it easier for you to share our teachings with others. That way you can minister to them and open lines of communication with them. As always, if there's a subject you'd like to hear about or be taught on, you can connect with us on our website through the contact page at neilreyes.com. Guys, we want to remind you, as always, that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. That teaching deserves a hand. Hallelujah. See, so for the last 3 weeks, we've been dealing with the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operated by the Holy Spirit through us. We don't operate the gifts operate through us. But it's done by the Holy Spirit as he deems or sees fit. And I want to just share something so a great understanding can be had. Because there's so much confusion about the gifts of prophecy and the office of the prophet. You take a car and you drive it into a garage. You walk into the garage. Just because you're in the garage doesn't make you a car.
Amen.
So you have the word of wisdom is the supernatural word of a future event. That doesn't make you a prophet. Don't get that confused. The gift of prophecy has nothing to do with foretelling the future. The gift of prophecy is designed to give three things. And remember these, it's going to help you out. EEC, exaltation, that's lifting somebody up. Edification, that's building somebody up. And C is comfort. That's what the gift of prophecy is supposed to do. Not to criticize or kick butt or even tell somebody how to operate in life. You know, in other words, a prophetic, you are going to be this. That's another gift. Now, God can, as Neil has said, the gifts work in tandem. Now, God may give a word of wisdom in conjunction with prophecy, the gifts of prophecy. But it's through the unction of the Holy Spirit, all the way through the unction of the Holy Spirit. It's not through your flesh. It's not through your ego. It's not through your emotions. It's by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right. Any questions about any of the teachings? Praise God. Again, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are divided into three groups of three. You have the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts
reveal
something. That's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discernment of spirits. Then you have the power gifts. The power our gifts do something. That's the working of miracles, the gifts of healings and supernatural faith. They do something. And then you have the inspiration gifts. They say something. Diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. They say something. It's all for the body of Christ to edify, to build up the body of Christ. And often, as Neil said, they're used as a witnessing tool as well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father God, we do thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord,
hallelujah,
for the harvest on the seed sown. Lord, we thank you for 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing in Jesus' name. We honor your word. We glorify your name. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank God for that. Now, any questions or comments, especially about your prayer language, and all, I mean, because that's one of the, you got to use that, y'all. You got to use that. You got to use your prayer language. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, you have any comments?
Yep.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Sorry. But the more you use your prayer, the more you use your prayer language, it will get you out a whole lot of stuff like battles or devil trying to attack you. So when you use your prayer language, Satan can't do nothing. The prayer language, it helps you, you know. So I definitely understand the prayer language now.
That's great. Your prayer language is like the atom bomb.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, it's on an equal basis to the blood of Jesus or the name of Jesus. But it just does so much more because what you do, you have to say, okay, Holy Spirit, speak through me directly to God on this circumstance. And the devil got to get to stepping. He can't handle that.
Yes, he can't handle it. He can't handle it. Amen to that.
Your prayer language, there are many situations in life which you don't know what to say. You actually don't know what to say. Somebody will come up to you and tell you, I just got word that my father and mother were in a car accident and they didn't survive. What are you going to say? I'm sorry. It just not a, you go into prayer. You use your prayer language.
Amen.
You don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. Somebody has 7 children and they say, I just got fired from my job. But no, what are you going to say? There's so many situations that happen in life. You don't know what to say, but your prayer language is available. If somebody come up to you, and they done mistook you for somebody else, and they're cursing, calling you everything but a child of God, what you going to say? You're not going to pull out a gun and shoot them, because that's not God's way.
Nope.
But you used to have a phone on them. Woko shake it and woko take the Lord God rebuke you. Yeah, that's how woko take. There's so many things that happen. There's situations in families. But families yelling and screaming, you just calm your voice down. You lower your voice. And you begin to audibly, in other words, just calmly, and after a while, they will, at first, you know, the enemies can get high sometimes. You know, you can talk all that jumping all you want to. You just keep on calmly, and put a smile on your face. Oh, Lord, that. Hallelujah. You know what? That's why the Word of God tells folks in 1 Chronicles 16:22 and Psalms 105:15, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That's why we got to keep our lips off of people. We can't give them back what they're trying to give us, and what they're trying to do to us is hurt us. We can't. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. You don't have to do it. You got to love them folks. Even though they're yelling and screaming after you, I thank God for our prayer language and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because they're going to be mad. In fact, I almost guarantee that all of you have used one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. One or more have been manifested, and you just didn't know what it was. You got an unction, a pull. You got something, you know, it was almost like fire set up in your bones. It was just an urging that you had. It was the Holy Spirit drawing you, trying to get you to flow in one of the gifts. And again, I need to share with you, you position yourself to be used of God. How do you do that? Well, you go to Galatians 5:22-23. Somebody know what that says. Well, what does that say, Pastor Peter, or anybody? Galatians 5:22.
Say it again. Galatians.
Nobody knows what it is. I done said that scripture so many times.
What was the question?
I said, you got to position yourself to be used of God. And how you do it is to go to Galatians 5:22-23.
The fruit of
the Spirit. Say.
The fruit of
the Spirit. Love, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's how you position yourself. You don't do anything to get the Holy Spirit giving you the gift of what happens. You just position yourself. It's like somebody is giving out $1,000 bills at the convention center. Well, you go out to the convention center to position yourself to receive it. You know, you understand what I'm saying? You position yourself to receive the gift. They may be giving only 1,000 bills out, but you want to position yourself to receive it. So you go there. The bottom line, position yourself to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number one, you got to be saved.
Amen.
And then let the fruit of the Spirit be manifested in your life. Pastor Peaches, you want to say anything?
I think I probably didn't figure out what I wanted to say. Well, I thought one time it was like the Adam Bomber too. It said that when you're going through something, it can give you clarity of thoughts. When you're looking for something, speaking, praying in the Spirit, it helps you, it leads you, it guides you. You're trying to bring something back to your remembrance, you've forgotten it. Something you're trying to, when you're talking and you're trying to remember something, you might have just had something on your mind. Stop praying in the Spirit, and it will come back to your remembrance. I'm a witness. You can use it for so many things. I'm sure so many things. It will give you clarity of thought, clarity of mind. It'll bring things back to your remembrance. Use it. It's yours.
It's yours. That's right. And don't kind of compare it with somebody else's. That is somebody else's tone. Oh, that sounds so good. But that's their tone. You get your tone. And then work on it. Every day, just use your tone. Y'all got no voice. Walk around the house. Y'all don't forget it. Walk around your neighborhood if you have to do that.
Amen.
Whatever.
Yes. Drive out the confusion in your home, the evil spirits in your home. Walk around the house. And it's because they say one of the things that it does, it builds up the atmosphere.
Hallelujah.
And builds up and it develops God's anointing around you.
Phew. Wow. It's like a cloak of invincibility. Boy. Like Superman, bullets up and bouncing off of him.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same thing with you. In your prayer language.
Yes.
Your prayer language. Sometimes I get up in the middle of the night and use my prayer language. Because sometimes, boy, you got to cut that bush up. I remember your sister testified that she kept getting up this one morning, and it was snowing hard. And she kept getting up, and she didn't know what was going on. And something just set up to pray for her sister. But she didn't know what to pray. She didn't know what was going on. So she started praying. I'm going to say the time. I'm going to say 5 o'clock, but it might not have been 5 o'clock because it's been 10 years or so, 20 years, 30 years ago. But she said she started praying because she tried to go back two or three times. She couldn't do it. She kept praying. So she didn't know what to pray for. She spoke in tongues. Unbeknownst to her sister was driving a car in the snow. And she was so afraid of what, it was a blizzard. She driving the car. She closed her eyes. Driving the car. And at the same time she was doing that, her sister was speaking in tongues. And when she finally opened her eyes, she was in the parking lot of where she worked. God had that through her prayer. She didn't know why she was.
Hallelujah.
But she found out later on what happened. She said, what time? The same time she couldn't sleep. She had to pray for her sister. And
glory
she was
to God.
So she spoke in tongues.
Glory to God.
Sometimes it ain't for you.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
Somebody else. Because, see, you are, y'all gotta tune in for tomorrow, part two.
Hallelujah.
The message that I started last Wednesday. Because you are the blessing. And people's lives are depending on you. People's lives, family members, friends, your community.
Yes.
Depending on you, you are the blessing.
Amen.
You are not a blessing. You are the blessing.
Amen.
So understand it. If you tune in for the message on tomorrow.
That's right. Because, Angie, when you spoke about the shooting in your neighborhood this morning, my daughter had the same experience last Tuesday or Wednesday, when I called her, she said, "Mommy, mommy, they're shooting outside, they're shooting outside." And I said, "Oh, my gosh." And she could look out the window, and the guy was laying on the ground, two doors from her.
Wow.
And I said, "Pam, if you think that it's bad now when you live, where you live," I said, "what you think it's going to be when you move?" And she's trying to buy a house. She's trying to get out of the neighborhood now. I said, "What you think it's going to be?" And plenty of shootings have been in the shootings in her neighborhood has been in the news. It's been, and I said, because when the glory leaves, when the glory leaves the place,
when the blessing leaves,
oh my gosh,
check her, da da da. See, Angie, you covered your whole family. You don't even know that you are the blessing. That cover that, because the bullet could have come in your house and got you or one of your family members. But you are the blessing.
Mm-hmm. And on the news, it said that a lot of the cars in your neighborhood, Angie, got hit.
Yep.
A lot of the cars in your
neighborhood
got hit
holes in it.
Wow.
Thank God. Mm-hmm. Because God knows you the blessing. You are able to cover your family. I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all got to stay on the morning worship. Y'all got to stay in Bible study. Y'all got to continue to listen to the services. Because God said, "I'm going to meet your need. I'm going to teach you stuff where the rubber meets the road." So you understand. I'm going to open up your eyes of your understanding. Y'all don't know what a blessing y'all have been sat under. I encourage you all to sign up for the school, the Institute of Biblical Learning for February. It's going to take us higher. It's going to be exaltation, lifting us up, edification, building us up. And it's going to be some comfort. Y'all going to learn, I mean, every one of y'all that have been taking the courses, y'all going to be able to teach others what you learn. And you are the blessing, y'all. Y'all are the blessing. When you walk into a room, you take the blessing in there. People are blessed because you just stepped in.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
You got to understand that you're not a blessing. You are the blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
You're black. You're able. You want to see miracles? He says, you be the miracle.
Right.
That's why God has tugged at your heart, Angie, about the homeless and doing something. Because God has told you in your spirit, you are the blessing. Yeah. God bless you all. I want y'all to go ahead and invite two or three people on the morning worship, because God is doing something powerful.
Hey,
mama. And see, now that you've been taught about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, watch out. They're going to be so manifested in your life. You're going to see what you didn't see before. You will understand that you were rolling with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and didn't even know it.
Hallelujah.
But you know it now.
Yeah.
Whoa, cool. You know it now, y'all. So just don't talk the talk, but walk the walk. Be confident in whom you believe.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Yes.
And he said, greater things would you do than he did.
Yes.
He's equipped you to do that. God bless you all. Thank you all for tuning in to Bible study. Again, if you'd like to register for the class, the 9-week course that starts in February, call Pastor Peaches for 443-416-1201. If you want to sow into the ministry, you could go to Cash App, $, capital T, small letters, PHCPWC. Sow into the kingdom. If you have a need, sow a seed. Be seed conscious, not need conscious. Hallelujah. Don't be sin conscious, be righteousness conscious.
Yes.
Seek to do.
Yes,
good. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you'll reap if you don't quit, if you don't faint. Guess what? I thank you for every last one listening to this Bible study. It's a due season. Boy, I feel like a song coming on. It's a due season. It's a due season. It's a due season. Oh, it's God's reason. It's a due season. I want you to know what, y'all. God loves you. Nothing you can do about it. Have a blessed day, everybody.
And I love you more.
Love you more. Hallelujah. God is blessed. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Hallelujah. Continue to bless others. Continue to do what you do. Hallelujah. I thank God for you. Because you know what? I got to God. I got news for you, y'all. Oh, I got news for you. Oh, my. Oh, my. Says
she's in the house.
Hey. Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. Don't rock it.
Let's do it.
Hallelujah.
He was born to a virgin named Mary on Christmas Day. He bled and died on the cross.
Died on the cross.
You take him high. You take him low.
You take him low. JC. JC.
Good.